Hola and bienvenidos. This week we are revisiting our podcast all about Seville in Andalusia, Spain. Seville is many people's favourite Spanish city, and after this episode you will see why. Walk with us through the magnificent Alcazaba with its stunning interior and gardens that were part of the Game of Thrones series. Next, we wander inside the world-famous Sevilla Basilica with the huge tower that I made Lyle climb just to take the photos. We walk through the old town, visit some authentic tapas bars where my limited Spanish actually came in handy. There is music everywhere you wander through Seville, and it makes the atmosphere incredible. We share some funny stories from our horse and carriage ride clip-clopping around the main site to Seville, and then listen as we take you strolling along the beautiful river at sunset, and the river runs right through the middle of Seville. Stay listening to the end when we share one of the most stunning places in Seville. So stunning, in fact, that we went back at night as the sun was setting. You can see our beautiful pictures by clicking the link to episode 98 in the podcast description on the podcast player you are listening on now. Please enjoy episode 98. Hola, mi amor.
Buenos dias, Leanna. Leanne.
Leanne. We are back to our international podcast studio, and today it's moved up the coast a bit, or no, not the coast, but inland Spain. And from the coast of Neja, we moved on to Seville, or Sevilla, as they say in Spain, and that's what we're going to tell you all about today. Hey, Don.
Sure. Yeah, so how we got from Neja to
Sevilla.
Sevilla. Because actually we're sitting in Salamanca at the moment, so I'm pretty confused. But anyway, we caught the taxi, it was 70 euro, to the bus station in Malaga, and we took the almost 4 hour bus trip to Sevilla. Hmm. It was fine. It was.
I have to say, the bus trips, getting the bus in Spain is so easy if you have your ticket. You basically look at the board. It tells you what bay the bus is leaving from. You go there. The bus driver arrives. You put your suitcase underneath, and on you get. And you got Wi-Fi, aircon, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's 27 euro each. And it's only 205k, but there was 14 stops, I think, between.
Yes.
But that's okay, because you go to all these little towns which you would not normally have a look at. And if you don't want to do that, you can listen to podcasts, you can play
do research
cards.
For
you
a
can,
podcast.
Or you can do research for a podcast. You can catch a train. That's $39 Australian, or the fast train's about 72.
Mm.
We sort of just caught the normal one because we had plenty of time, and we actually enjoy looking at all the small towns.
Well, and also when I booked the tickets back in before we left, which I like to do, they weren't showing any train tickets available, and I like to be organised, so we just got what we could get. When we got to Sevilla. And I just have to say, we've been here once before. We had one night here 6 years ago in Sevilla. It was 48 degrees in the shade, and we just made a trip to visit some friends, my son and his wife. We're catching up with some friends for a night. We were all very hungover from a night before at a rooftop bar in Malaga, I think. I don't remember where we were. So it was a recipe for disaster, and we weren't that impressed with Seville. We're like, why does everybody think this is so good? And we're going to tell you why they do, because now we know.
Yeah, but I think back in that particular visit, I think we looked at one street.
Yeah, sure, and the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, anyway. we now know why we went. Well, we're really happy we went back, and we're going to tell you why. But getting to our hotel from the bus station was a bit of a round and round the mulberry bush as well, wasn't it? You know, oh my gosh, I just couldn't believe some of the little streets the taxi driver was going up. Like, literally, he had to reach out and pull his review mirror in.
And put his side mirrors.
Side mirrors in, because they would have scraped the wall.
And, yeah. Well, it was actually quite funny, because Leanne had told me that she'd received some information from where we were staying. It was 20 minutes walk or 10 minutes in the cab, and we thought, how does that work? Like,
surely, you know, if it's 20 minutes to walk, it's about a 5 minute,
yeah,
you know, max.
But after then traveling in the taxi, you can understand more.
Because we stayed in the old town and there's only one way in and you do literally go round and round the Marlborough Bush to get there. So.
Yeah, so yeah. But that was like it was only 10 euro for the taxi trip. And he dropped us right outside the door.
And we were staying at the Palacio Pinella, see?
Pinello, yeah. See? It was beautiful.
It used to be a palace, did it? Is that why it was called Palacio?
Probably.
Yeah.
Didn't really look at that. Sorry about that.
But that's okay. I picked it because it was in a really good spot and it was probably a little bit more than what we'd normally spend. But, you know, it just seemed to be like a pretty special spot right in the city with the view of the Giralda Tower.
Yeah, and the lady behind, the reception lady or manager was the name. What was her name?
Nadi.
Well, she'd been to the school, the Leanne School of Reception, because she told us we had a free upgrade, and it was her favourite room. And I can remember when Leanne and I had a business together, she told that to everybody.
I did.
So we were quite amused. But
Nadi got a koala. I know this is probably early in the podcast to begin at Koala World, but I don't want to forget. Because not only was she so helpful and friendly, we needed to buy tickets to go to the cathedral online. And I'm having trouble buying things online at the moment because of trying to get a PIN code from, you know, over your phone, which we can't get. And so she bought them for us with her personal credit card.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we gave her cash straight back, but I just thought that's going above and beyond, isn't it?
Yeah, no, she was great. I mean... you couldn't fault the service. And
there's some lovely photos on our Instagram and actually on our website at www.beachtravelwine.com of all this about Seville, but there was a lot of beautiful artwork.
Yeah, it was almost like an art gallery, the actual hotel. It was, and like, I'm not really into art so much, but it was brilliant. And there was you know, what would you call, not monuments of bulls, but like
statues, like
statues of bulls and bullfighters, and
but they were colourful. They weren't made out of, I don't know what they were made out of.
It was almost like paper mache sort of style.
But even the staircase was, you know, the tiles on the staircase were, you know, so beautiful. And so there's some pictures of the rooftop bar. It had an amazing rooftop bar.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed we didn't have the rooftop pool. Yeah. However, I was pacified when I found out they had a rooftop bar.
Well, especially with the view that it's got, right?
Sure.
So, and there's pictures of all of that as well. So, yeah, so we had a really good experience getting there. And once we got there, it was fabulous. You know, room was, you know, king bed, comfy, aircon, you know, all the mod cod slippers, dressing gowns, magnifying mirror in the bathroom, just lots of little touches that I really, it just makes you feel pretty special, right?
As Leanne said, we did pay more than what we would normally, but it was fabulous. I mean, really fabulous and worth every cent.
Yeah, every cent. Yeah, we really liked it. So our hotel, which I was just talking about, which is so nice, was in a really good area, wasn't it, honey?
Yeah, it's basically in the Santa Cruz Barrio.
Or Barrio de Santa Cruz,
if you're Spanish. That's the one. Yeah, it was...
Which is the old part of the old town, right?
Yeah, correct. Mm. And it was beautiful, lots of bars and that sort of thing. Just a bit of history about the Jewish quarter. Originally, Seville basically was quite comfortable with the Jews, the Christians and the Muslims together. But then when the Reconquista came through, they basically the Jews were forced out. Mm-hmm. Since then, in 2014, the Spanish government, basically if you could prove you're a Jewish descendant from back in that day, which is in around the 1200s, got dual citizenship.
Hmm.
Now, in that area is the Alcázar, it's unbelievable.
I thought you were going to add a doing word in there. I nearly did. It's worth a little, you know, language warning. Yeah, we hear about the Alcázar of Seville, right? And they talk about the Golden Triangle, don't they? You know, you've got the Cathedral, Santa Cruz, and the Alcazar, the things that you need to see. Is that they're the things that make
and
up
and also,
the Tower of
the
Plaza de España. Sí.
Yeah.
Sí. So yeah, first afternoon we decide because we've only got 3 days, 2.5 once we get there, we're going to hit the ground running. And we just, you know, because we're so close, we just all of a sudden come across the Alcazar and we just line up for what, 10 minutes, if that, to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how much it was, but it wasn't expensive.
€12.50.
Okay, each. Okay. Was it each? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we've seen a few Alcazars and, you know, Palacios that were, you know, back from the Moorish time. You walk into this one and, oh, we use this a lot, don't we, honey? But just, wow, you come into this courtyard, which has got, you know, the stereotypical Moorish arches, you know, the rounded arches with the decorative patterns, and you're in a courtyard and you don't know which way to go because you can see through that arch, you know, some beautiful tiles and, you know, more Gothic stuff, and you can see through that arch. There's gardens, and you know how I'm a sucker for gardens. And then you can see through the other way, staircases covered in the most gorgeous mosaic tiles. And you're just like, okay, there isn't just one sort of courtyard here. Where are we going to go? So we basically did all of it, didn't we? So we went through the one to the right, which was the staircase with all the tiles. And they've sort of got a museum upstairs, don't they, of all the old tiles. And they date back to...
Yeah, and plates and that sort of stuff. And it's when they first worked out how to put the gold plating on plates and that sort of thing, they'd give you a bit of a history on that. But as Leanne said, you're just sort of going from one hall to a patio to a garden. But
courtyard, patio, courtyard,
yeah,
garden.
Courtyards and that sort of thing.
But what was that room that was that we just like basically dropped our...
Oh, that was the dome of the Salon de Embajadores.
Yeah. That's the one. You just walk in and you just like, you look up and it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a massive, it's wooden, yeah?
Yeah, wooden.
Carved wooden dome with gold plating, I imagine it would be, on the decorative bits. It's, and then you sort of pan down. And the walls are decorated in mosaics and tiles. And then there's four little balconies, you know, that sort of come out so high up. I don't even know how you get there. It must be for the famous ambassadors to look down. And the walls are completely decorated all the way down. There's little statues and carvings. And then the floor is just beautiful as well. Like it's a, That was probably one of my favourite places there. It was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the thing you've got to understand is that it really is based on two palaces.
Right.
The first one obviously started with the Moors, and then the Christians came in and they built their palaces. And then each...
Yeah, so it didn't just start as one big place, is what you said.
No, that's correct.
They
added
on and added on.
Added on and added on.
And
so
the
that's
last
why
bit was
you've
Gothic,
got...
wasn't it? With...
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why you've got... all these different areas, they've just added on. And, of course...
They're all trying to outdo each other.
Yeah, each time someone adds something on, it's to outdo the others. Yeah.
Are we talking Alphonse again? Like, was he involved in this?
No. Okay. Hang on. It was...
he was involved in everything else.
I'll give you the history. Historically known as the Alcazar el Merik, commonly known as the Alcazar of Seville, is a royal palace built for the Christian King Peter of Castile. So obviously that was the first of the Christians. It was built by Castilian Christians on the site of an Abedin Muslim Alcazar or residential fortress.
So they kept some of that?
Sure, absolutely.
Right, and you can definitely see that there.
But they, and of course what happened was that they call it Mudahar architecture, which was basically, Mudahar means the people that were left. So after the Reconquista, and the Christians used the Islam architecture incorporated that into the Gothic.
But and also that's why for some inspiration. They've copied it a bit and made it their own. So, yeah, so there's all those different types of architecture in this one Alcazar, isn't there? Yeah.
And the gardens, well, I'll let Leanne go on about the gardens.
Well, the other thing to talk about is in the Alcazar and in the gardens, there were some episodes of Game of Thrones film there, and you can, if you actually Google that, which I did to see where it was, and it was like they didn't change anything. They just basically were filming Game of Thrones right there in the Alcazar and in the water gardens as well. So after sort of wandering around, being awestruck by the different architecture and the grandeur of it all. Actually, at one stage I sort of wandered off because Lyle's reading all the, he likes to read the information. I like to go and get the photos. I just sort of went through a tunnel and through a door and somewhere else, and I thought I might have lost him. it's quite rabbit warren, isn't it, in some places?
I do remember that. I was in a panic because I, at that point, I couldn't remember where we were staying, but anyway.
That's not unusual. Again, so I decided we were going to go to the gardens. It's getting quite warm by this time, like it was, mid-afternoon, and, I just love a garden, and there's something cooling and relaxing about a garden, and this one was beautiful. It had lots of magnolia trees, and it was full of agapanthus, which were all flowering, that beautiful purple colour. And, the backdrop was, I don't know what that building behind that we walked along was called behind the garden. We walked, and it was probably the watch tower or the wall, the original wall, because you can walk along and have those vantage points, got those nice pictures back over the gardens. But it's quite, not regimented, but planned, like those gardens were, it's planned out, it's symmetrical, same on one side as the other, and lots of little nooks and crannies and little, there's one sort of particular sort of tiled little house in the middle, and they do shows there at night sometimes. So they had some chairs set up there as well, and there's a couple of really nice water fountains, which...
The water features were quite good.
I loved. Look, there's like quite a lot more of the gardens we didn't actually go through. It was getting a bit hot, and it just went on and on. So really just lots of big palm trees and the undergrowth and hedges. Just you could walk around there for hours, really, in the gardens as well. And as I said, when we'd sort of done the garden bit, we went up to the wall, on sort of the wall of the garden, I guess, which splits the garden in two. And that's where the Game of Thrones was filmed, in that area. And you can walk along the lookouts and get some nice vantage points and obviously some nice photographs and stuff along that walkway as well. And then we decided we had had enough, and we tried to find the exit, but the exit is through that part of the Gothic Palace, which had all those tapestries on the wall.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And they were tapestries from the 14th, 15th century, or handmade. And we're talking 5 metres, up to sort of 8 metres long, some of them, weren't they?
They were huge.
And, that square, and intricate designs, and not just patterns, they were...
Pictures. War, battle scenes.
They were telling a story, weren't they?
They were battle scenes. So the intricacy in them was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. And we were blown away by that.
Yeah,
weren't we?
We really
say that all the time, but we were. We rated it. We rated it highly. And I took so many photos that if you go to our Instagram at Beach Travel Wine and look at the feed there, but also go to the stories, you'll see those highlights, you'll see the videos we took. And if you go to our website after this, you'll see some pictures I put up there as well. It's really worth going to have a look at that. So any more on the Alcazar?
We decided then it was getting a bit warm. We were in Seville, so we decided to do what the locals do. We decided to go home because we'd been going a fair time. So it was getting warm, so we decided to go back and have a siesta.
Oh, we probably had lunch and something to drink first.
Yeah, only no, we didn't do too much. We were pretty tired, so we did have lunch and we did have
maybe Quinto de Verano para me and the
Actually, we had lunch at that place where the lady that I think she must have been a new staff member. She, every time she came out, she had the wrong thing.
Anyway, so we went back for a nice siesta.
Yeah, siesta, and it was and the bed. Oh my god,
aircon,
how good was the bed?
Comfy bed. Yeah, it was great. So another quick story about our last trip to Seville. I'll make it quick because you know, got lots to say, tell you about this next place. We did a boat tour when we were here last time because it was so hot. We figured it might be cooler on the river, which it wasn't. But there was a commentary and it was sort of half Spanish, half English. And, you know, the guy was sort of saying, and over there, there's this, and over there, there's that. And that bridge was in the Guinness Book of Records. And just over there was the site of the 92 Expo. And you can still see the sites of each province of Spain. Okay, that's what I heard, right? Now, I know that's wrong. But in my mind, 6 years ago, I thought he was pointing out a sort of paddock which had some old tents up with the signs of the different provinces around. I thought it would be like a deserted fairground was basically what I thought it was. Okay, that's my recollection of the Plaza de España. But having going back to Seville and doing a bit more research, I realized I was wrong. It is actually, the expo was in 1929, not 92, and the displays of the provinces, 50 of them, were actually made out of tiles, but we'll get to that. So we're going to this place for me, just thinking, oh yeah, what is this? And you get there and OMG again, I think it's one of the most beautiful spots I've seen in Spain. It's just overwhelmingly, amazing to look at. It's, do you want me to describe it, Don? Will I keep going?
Sure.
It's like it is a plaza, but it's a big semicircle building. And I don't know how many meters it is. Lyle might know.
200.
Oh, 200 meters, right, of this big semicircle building with, on each end, there's two towers, or one tower on each end, okay? And then around the edge of the building, they've got little alcoves, which are probably 2 meters squared, maybe a bit bigger. And each alcove is a province of Spain, and they're in alphabetical order. And they have decorative designs on each alcove.
Yeah, so ceramic tiles.
Ceramic tiles, right. So, and they've got the name, and they've got a picture which depicts the province, and then they've got a map, and then they've got more pictures of the province. Like each one is an individual work of art.
Correct.
On its own, right? Just
representing that.
The flag, everything, that province, yeah? So you can walk around the whole 200 metres looking at these. Well, if there's 200 metres and there's 50 of them, they've got to be 4 metres each, right?
Sure.
Is that my maths okay?
Yeah.
So when we got there, they're in the shade, so it's beautiful and cool, and the colours, the details, the patterns, the pictures, each one was just glorious.
Mm.
And then if that's not enough, you can go up the stairs and look, and the balustrades of the balconies are patterned ceramic tiles. Mm. They're white and blue and yellow and bottle green, and you just want to touch them. They're so beautiful.
Mm.
And if that's not enough, you then have a little river, water feature.
Canal.
Canal, thank you, which is what, 3-4 meters wide?
And it's 500 meters long.
Okay. So it goes round, further than the building, obviously. And across it are
Four bridges.
You're good at this, honey. Oh, you didn't even know that's where I was going. Four bridges. And each bridge is once again decorated in these beautiful ceramic tiles. There's yellows and blues and whites and oranges. Oh, it's beautiful, stunning. And you just want to walk over the bridges and back. And And then...
Don't forget the...
I know, the...
Fountain.
There's a mass, big-ass fountain right in the middle. Like, yeah. Just... And the water's spurting out of it. It's a big, round fountain. And the mist of that fountain just gently falls on your face to cool you down because it's so hot. It is glorious. And then little horse and cart buggies come around, don't they?
Mm.
You know, and they've got people on clip-clopping around. You can just see, you can imagine that, what they did years ago, clip-clopping around. There was a flamenco show.
Yes, there was a flamenco show. Yep.
Yeah, and so you got the music and you've got the sound of the lady dancing and the clapping. And then a bit further down, there's a guy playing the guitar, you know, like it's a bit quiet. It's just, wow, isn't it? Just, yeah, we oh, man. So the Plaza de España in Seville is glorious, just glorious. And I've got, you know, once again, the photos, you know, like it's really hard to get good photos when the sun's shining so brightly, which sounds ridiculous because it's so glary. The sun's basically... beaming off every tile, you know, it's reflecting and stuff. But yeah, just beautiful. And we didn't do it for obvious reasons. But you can hire a little boat and, you know, row
your
boat.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why I didn't get that.
You get in the boat and off you go. But you know, I hate to tell you, there's no end to it. You got to turn around and come back.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just the romance of being out on the water and looking back up from there, right?
Sure. Well, as Leanne said, the Plaza de España, it was for the 1929 World Expo. It took 15 years to build.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And 1,000 workers every day. And it's built in the Spanish Renaissance style.
Mm.
Now, Spain's goal with the exhibition was to make peace with its former American colonies. So that's what the information said. Look, it's lavish. I mean, you've got no idea how spectacular it looks. And in fact... I know Leanne's going to want to talk about the park there, which is the Maria Luisa Park.
Parque de Maria Luisa.
We're
in Spain, mate.
In Spain, yeah. I've been told that I'm not allowed to say Plaza Mayor. It's Plaza Mayor.
Plaza Mayor. See you in Spain.
Yeah. Because Z in Spain is TH, right. Pronounced TH. But, so I'll let you...
Oh, well, I was going to talk about coming back at night first.
Sure.
Yeah, so Lyle noticed as we were walking around that there were, like, some big spotlights. And he's like, this is going to light up at night. This is, you know, we should come back. So we did that night. We made the little trek back. And,
yeah, we went home for a little siesta again.
But, yeah, so we came back and we got there just as that, sort of the golden hour. And in Spain, because of the way the buildings, a lot of them are made, they look golden anyway. Mm. And where's that sun setting, the sky, I think I've said this in an early podcast, but the sky goes this dark navy blue. It's like a colour you've never seen before. It's so intense navy. And the buildings with the lights on them are glowing gold against that backdrop. And it's like the best colour combination you could have. Just the one plays off the other so well. It's beautiful. So we were there just as... And it doesn't get dark in Spain until so late. So we're there at 10 o'clock, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And it is getting darker. And we've got some beautiful photos of the sky and those gold buildings. And also of the fountain, like the lights come on, it was like green lights in the fountain, and just some, you know, sunset pictures with the towers behind, and you know, it was a completely different feel at night, wasn't it? It was tranquil, it was beautiful, romantic, it was sort of the place to be at night in Seville because it was quiet and
it was quiet, but. You still had the occasional horse and buggy
come through.
But we were, you know, we thought how good it was during the day.
But it's worth going back at night.
It just, it's...
It glowed.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it was almost unreal, like a fairy tale.
It was beautiful. So back to what Lyle was saying before, after our day trip there, though, part of the Plaza de España is the Parque de María Luisa, which is called the Parque de María Luisa because María Luisa was a lady who donated the land the park's on to the city of Seville.
So she, this was back in 1914, she passed away, and as part of the estate, she left to the city by the Infanta María Luisa Ferdinanda, the Duchess of Montpensier, and she left 100 acres. There's a half a mile of palms, orange trees, elms, Mediterranean pines covered with flowers, flower beds.
Yes, basically.
Tiled benches, ponds, fountains, and the pavilion.
Yeah, so I don't really need to describe the garden. I think you've done it all pretty well.
No, I just said, you know, what was there? Now you've got to start with the colours and all that stuff.
Well, I just remember there was like a man-made little waterfall, you know, covered in the green lush plants that you could, a spiral staircase going up to the top and the water going down, which added like a nice, another cool sort of spot. And as you said, there's the ceramic seats and the columns and, you know, they've got rose gardens and little, like they've made like garden rooms, I guess, and there's people doing their paintings and that sort of thing as well. There's this beautiful big pond with another little water fountain, which is full of birds, like so many birds. And when we were there, there were these little ducklings that were so cute, little yellow fluffy little things swimming around, and yeah, just lots of different pathways and you know, once again, another garden bed, another fountain, and, you know, more flowers, you know, more trees, just lots of lush plantings, which is beautiful in the middle of a hot city like Sevilla.
Yeah, so obviously when the city, you know, when the Duchess donated the land in 1914, that then triggered where the I am assuming the location for the
Plaza de España,
because it, as I said, it was 15 years later to build the Plaza. So 1914, 1929, yeah. And there you go.
So in like a quick sentence to sum up, Plaza de España, spectacular. You have to see it day and night. The Parque de María Luisa is a beautiful, cool, shady pleasure to walk around those acres of garden right in the centre of Seville. You don't have to go far. It's right there. You know, you basically walk out the garden and you're on the river and you're not far from back at the cathedral, are you? So it's like about a kilometre from where we're staying.
Yeah, and the river is the Guadalquivir River. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we definitely you need to go there if you get to Sevilla, see or not?
Absolutely.
The next part of the tourist things we wanted to do, or the sights, the must-sees in Sevilla, was the cathedral. What's the name of this cathedral?
Yeah, okay. The Cathedral de Santa María de la Sede.
De la Sede?
De la Sede.
Ah.
The entry was 11.50, so 23 euro.
This is the tickets that the receptionist Nadi bought for us.
Yeah.
Now, because you line up, because it's so popular, you basically line up in 10-minute intervals. You know, they have a sign. You're going in at 10:50. This is where you line up. This is 11 o'clock. I might just say here, if you don't mind, we did some research and we were also read, obviously, that you need to dress appropriately to go into the cathedral. And that means no shorts, no singlet tops, tank tops, no thongs or flip-flops, no hats, you know, ladies in dresses, respectful, you know, shoulders covered, that sort of stuff. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to let you in, right?
Total bullshit.
Yeah. And originally I was thinking, you know, I'm looking at these tourists in line thinking, you know, how disrespectful, you know, like if you bought your tickets online, it's there in the information, you would have seen it. But then I thought, you know what, no one's batting an eyelid at these people going in these, you know, just summer outfits. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're totally opposite to what you should.
To what the regulations supposedly said on the website.
But if they're not going to follow through with the regulations.
Get rid of the regulations.
Right? Then, yeah. But I just, it was interesting because Lyle put jeans on, you know, in the hot Sevilla summer to go into the cathedral because they said you shouldn't wear shorts.
Well, two things. Maybe, you know, we're just older, but, you know, out of respect for what was in there.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, we paid to go and I didn't want to get to the front door and be told that, you know, we couldn't come in because we weren't dressed appropriately.
But there were people in really short shorts, which you'd wear in Sevilla because it's hot, and they had thongs on. And singlet tops, you know. So they weren't dressed inappropriately for wandering around the streets, but they was absolutely everything they say you shouldn't wear. So, yeah, and there's even signs in the church display saying what you should wear, a bit late once you're inside it, the cathedral, sorry.
But anyway. as Leanne said, no one blinked an eye, Liz.
No,
so she was, you know, it was, look, it wasn't, you know, something that really pissed us off, but we just thought, well,
yeah, well, either, you know, either
you have it or you don't.
You don't have it, right? But they're not going to, you know, like as I said to Lyle, and this might sound, sorry if I offend anybody, but it is the Catholic Church. They're not going to turn, you know, what is it, 11 euro each? They're not going to turn, you know, there would have been 3/4 of the people were dressed incorrect, like against the regulations. They're not going to turn them away, right?
Yeah, sure.
So it's a money game.
Well, talking about money, and then it was 5 euro for an audio, which I got. And, you know, it was really easy to operate.
Mm.
And there's numbers at each of the monuments and, you know, paintings and all that sort of thing.
So tell us a bit about the church. And I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, like I could go on about how beautiful it is, but, you know, I've seen so many cathedrals that I don't want to downplay this one. But I think giving the people some information about the actual church, like that you've got there, would be really handy, John.
Yeah, I know what Leanne's saying. I totally get it because we've been to so many of these cathedrals, and they're all very similar, and they're all beautiful.
Well, they're laid out the same.
Yeah,
there's
no question they're beautiful, but it becomes a little bit like ABC, another bloody church. So,
but they've all got those beautiful choir areas with the wooden carvings.
Sure.
You know, they've got the depiction of, you know, Jesus's life all in those elaborate gold carvings and, you know, behind the pulpit area, you know, where in the end they've got the one with his feet, you know, going up into the clouds. They had that in Toledo as well, they've got that area. They've got, you know, all the little, the alcoves, what are those called, like little chapels?
The chapels, yeah.
And then they've got, you know, rooms full of their, you know, their finery, their gold, their jewels, you know, as well.
Yeah.
There was one thing, though, in this that I, that's in none of the others, which was really fascinating, was the tomb of Christopher Columbus.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's got 4 big soldiers. It's like a bronze statue. And
it's a bronze statue on top of his tomb.
Yeah,
and it's basically
it's showing 4 guys carrying this.
Yeah, and they represent, I think it's Sevilla.
I was going to say northeast, west, and south because
it probably is.
Like that.
But
it's massive and
it's huge.
And in the background of that is a huge painting from floor to ceiling of
St. Christopher.
St. Christopher, yeah. Mm. So that was very impressive, you know. And we've got some pictures of that on our in all those places we said before. So that I really liked. And there was somewhere that had all that beautiful, you know, the crowns and the...
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was
the treasury room.
Of course, the treasury room.
And they've got a crown there that's got the second largest pearl ever found, and it's in the crown of the Virgin de los Reyes. The second largest pearl ever found, and it's the actual crown has over 1,000 jewels in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you look at it and you just go, wow, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, look, if we had walked into this particular cathedral first, we would be raving about how amazing it is the same as we raved about the first cathedral we went in. It was fabulous. But yeah, you just get used to it.
Yeah,
you know, it's just what they do.
Yeah, because I mean, okay, it's got the huge, big arches and the stained glass windows and the massive columns, and there's like five different areas, I think, in this cathedral. Look, it's the. Did you already say it's like the third biggest?
Yeah, it's the third biggest in Europe.
I said in the world.
No, sorry. Yeah, you're correct. It's the third biggest in the world.
It's the biggest in Spain. It's the third biggest in the world.
The world. And there's only the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and St. Paul's in London.
Which we did a podcast on earlier.
Yeah, are the only two that are bigger. Oh. So, like, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
As I said earlier.
It was built where there was a Jewish mosque, wasn't it?
Not a Jewish mosque. You said that.
Oh, I did. It's a dickhead. A synagogue, idiot.
It was built on the side of a Moorish mosque.
There we go.
Taken from the Moors in 1248.
I might have to edit that out, only I don't know how to edit, so it's staying in. Sorry, say it again. It was what?
It was built on the side of a Moorish mosque taken from the Moors in 1248.
But there's two things that are left from that, and that's the courtyard, then the Naranja, which is like
the Patio de las Naranjas,
which is the oranges, because it's full of orange trees.
Yeah. And the Giraldo Tower, which is 104 metres high.
Which Lyle went up and I did not, because...
Yeah, look, it wasn't too bad. It was, I think it's, the, it's not, it's only got 17 stairs, which are right at the very top.
There's ramps, though,
but there's 34 ramps.
Are there windows on the way up, or is it
There's windows on the way up. So, okay. I got up to the top. It was a little bit Eiffel Towerish when you get up to the top because there's so many people up there because they don't actually regulate how many people get up there. So it's pretty hard. You've got to wait till someone comes down from the platform where you can take photos, which wasn't too bad, but you're really crowded.
But it's good views. Like I got some nice photos back over the river of Sevilla.
Yeah.
The
bullring. The
bullring, and also just even down over the Patio de Naranjas and the ceiling of the cathedral.
But I tried to get a video of the bells when I was up the top because it's the bell tower now. Previous, when it was the Moors had it, it was where the guy would go up and...
Call to prayer.
Yeah. So I feel sorry. He must have been a fit bastard because
he was
going up there five times a day.
Do you think the ramps were original? Like,
they must be.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They'd have to be because, you know.
But if
they didn't have elevators back then.
No. Well, they might have done a pulley system. I don't know. Anyway. That's worth doing, right? If you're not worried about heights like I am.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But as I said, you know, trying to take a video of the bells. The bells are that big.
Yeah.
You really can't get the context of it. It's just, you just can't do it. But it's, look, I was happy to go up there and have a look and say, well, I've done it.
Yeah.
Really.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else about that, the cathedral you want to see?
Just that, you know, like the artworks.
Oh, yeah, there's some...
amazing. Like, you've got...
So, they've got, as well as the cathedral, they've got, like, rooms off the main cathedral, which basically just house art. It's like an art gallery, right?
Yeah, well, you'd have to call it a museum.
Yeah, yeah. And
You've got... if anybody, you know, is interested in art, you'll know these names. Murillo, Goya... Vargas and all these amazing painters,
they're not religious paintings, like
not necessarily. No.
And then there's the room. I don't think it's the treasury, but I could be wrong. With the monstrance.
Yeah.
Is that's another room as well?
That's another room, yeah.
Where they've got all their silver on display, and they've got candelabras in silver and statues in silver, and you know, you name it, you know, all these things in silver, and they're huge monstrous. We talked about that in the Toledo Cathedral, you know, and they've got one not quite as big, I don't think, but it's silver. I mean, did you get how big that was or not?
I don't think I did, okay. But I the actual size of the cathedral itself, it's 170 metres long, 83 metres wide and 43 metres high.
Mm. It's still active. There's still two services in it.
Yeah, it's huge.
Must be hard to do church services with tourists going in and out all the time.
Well, they just closed. Well, it was like what happened at Toledo. They just don't open the church
on
Sunday until after 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's well worth going to see.
Well, that's one of the main, sites to see in Sevilla. And from our accommodation, from the rooftop bar, from our bathroom, you could see the tip of the Giraldo Tower.
Sure.
But from the rooftop bar,
you could almost touch it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was lit up at night. And once again, it's that gold colour against that, deep navy sky.
Yeah.
That was pretty, pretty special as well. So if you want to see any of the videos and photos, there's lots of videos on our Instagram at Beach Travel Wine, and just go to Sevilla Story Highlights. Or there'll be pictures after this podcast on our website at beachtravelwine.com. Anything else on the cathedral? No?
No, not really. I mean,
it's too big to get in one picture on the outside. You can't even walk around around it without just being blown away by the size, the intricacy of the outside of it as well. You know, we've just talked about the inside, but the outside. The spires, the walls, the other entrances. It's a work of art in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's right there in that plaza, just outside, where the beginning of that Barrio de San Juan is. So it's a sort of gathering area, and people gather there as the sun goes down as well, just to watch the tower light up against the sky. You know, it's another spot to certainly go and have a look at it at night. You know, it's lit up like just unbelievable. Yeah.
Just to go back to the artwork and that sort of thing, we're talking about the best artist of the time.
Sure.
And how long it would take to make the monstrous or the crowns. It'd be years and years and years. And we
might have seemed like we've trivialised a bit, and we don't mean to. You could literally spend hours.
Oh, a day, easy.
You know, looking at, there's so much to see inside that cathedral. There really is. It's certainly, the jewellery, the architecture, the artwork. They've got the old robes that the priests wore.
Oh, and don't forget the stained glass windows.
There's so much to see. There really is. And it's lovely and cool. And you could wander around for so long, couldn't you? So definitely worth a visit, yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So Sevilla is a really easy city to walk around. You know, all the main, attractions are all in a very small circumference. As you've probably learnt from other podcasts, we do love to walk around a lot. And one of the places that we found to walk, which we enjoyed, was along the river. Now, what is the river called, Dom?
It is called the Rio Guadalquivir. It's and that literally means, translated as the Great River. It's the fifth longest river in Spain. It's 657 kilometres and it goes from Cordoba to Sevilla. Look, it's beautiful. Mm. And we never got the chance to do it. We were going to do it now last night. We were just too tired. But there's a whole bunch of restaurants that line the riverfront, and they look pretty cool.
Yeah, they do. We walked past them in the day, and we were going to go back.
Yeah, but we just.
But you can also walk across the river,
sure.
To like what they call like the gypsy area. But it from where we were, it was like there's quite a few of the restaurants had seemed to have closed, but right next to that there seemed to be like massive restaurants and bars along that side. So if we had more time, we would have definitely explored over there as well. The river was quite popular, like a lot of people on there rowing. What are those
canoes?
No, they weren't canoes. Where they compete in the Olympics.
Oh yeah, the rowing boats. Yeah, okay. The quads.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, rowboats. Yeah. So quite a lot of that practicing going on, you know, and stand up paddle boards and canoes as well. Yeah, kayaks.
And obviously you've got the tour, the river yeah, boats and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's a very active river and very pretty. So a nice walk along that, and then you come across the Bullring. It's just along the river there. And it's an active bullring, and it's not your typical brick one. It's painted white and yellow, so it's quite an impressive construction to look at too, isn't it? And on the river is the Oro, which is the Tower of Gold.
Yeah.
Because it's gold colour. We thought it was because it had money, but it's... The reason it's called that is what it's made out of.
Yeah, sandstones. And they did something with the hay.
Mm. So when the light...
When it was constructed, it was so that when the light hit it, it actually would reflect gold on the...
But it's actually a watchtower. Constructed as a watchtower. And it's circular and it's right on the river. Do you know how high that is? We probably don't know that,
I don't.
No, you could have made that up. Man. Anyway, it's got a museum in it and it's right there on the river. And it's a very well-known... landmark in Seville scene. So the river's a nice walk along. There's restaurants all along the front there as well. And beautiful sunset. I've got some beautiful sunset photos there just over the river. And another little place we came across was the Plaza de Puente de Jerez, which was that fountain with all those beautiful flowers. The canna lilies, you know, in every colour as the sun was setting, there's a few clouds. Yeah, that was really a beautiful
walk. And we got there about, I suppose, 5 to 10, and Leanne had taken some beautiful photos. And as per normal, the fountain shut down at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So, again, we asked it that...
I was taking nice photos of the water and the flowers and then I turned around and it turned off. But that, another thing that's really good about Sevilla is the horse and carts, right, horse and buggies. I guess they're very touristy, but it's really nice to do that.
We actually did it. That's something that we would not normally do, but when in Seville, and there's no tuk-tuks Seville. No. And
we like tuk-tuks.
Yeah, so we did it, and look, it's fun.
It didn't take us anywhere we hadn't already walked ourselves.
Yeah.
But you got a different perspective. Going through, following that clip-clopping horse, and there's some behind us and there's one in front of us, so you've got that real clip-clop, clip-clop sound. You're going up through the middle of Parque de Maria Luisa, you know, the big trees, and you could almost be transported back in time, you know, really. And then you come across the Plaza de España, which we obviously raved about earlier, but in the horse and carriage, you go around the fountain and it really is clip-cloppy, you know. Around there, and you get a really nice, circumnavigation of the whole thing at a really nice pace and nice breeze coming because you're moving, you know, in the...
You've obviously forgotten something.
Okay, the horse farted a few times, right? Oh, and he weed like the Niagara Falls.
That was it. The look on Leanne's face it was a gush.
My face.
And I'm looking at Leanne and she...
You said to me, is that what I think it is? I said, yep. But these horses are clever. They know when, I'm thinking they know what a red light is.
Seriously? Because in front of where the cathedral is, you can smell the horse shit, but... You can't see it.
No, they clean it up straight away.
They clean it up. Yeah. However, when you go through...
the park.
Maria Luisa, or the Parque de Maria Luisa Park. Yeah. It's there's
but
a bit
come
there.
On, no takeaway. It was great. And
no, look, it's Seville. Yeah. It's part of Seville. Yeah. You know?
It was fun, and I'm glad we did that because that you don't do that. Like,
it was €45, which isn't cheap.
It's not cheap, no.
And it really...
But that's what they were charging.
Yeah, half an hour, maybe. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, so it was fun.
Well,
The other thing that we obviously we like in every city we go to is the food. And it's interesting, Seville has... Like the Barrio de San Juan, which is full of old tapas type bars. And then intermingled with that, there are some new sort of fancier tapas bars. And there's some old bars which are doing more modern food. So they've got like a real selection. So a couple of our favourites were El Pintelo. Is that the one that...
El Pinto, yeah.
Nadi recommended.
Yeah.
And it was very upmarket, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we had the most unusual drink there. Like, it was a gin.
Yeah, the guy that was obviously the manager there, he was really, really good at what he did. He recommended they had drinks
cocktails.
Specials.
It was a cocktail
bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And he recommended this gin and tonic.
But it was soft pink and it came out with a delicate... feather? No, it wasn't a feather. It's like a leaf.
Yeah, like a leaf, yeah. Artificial leaf. And look, the presentation was fantastic. It tasted amazing.
Yeah, but for €10 each, which is $15, it's Australian prices, right?
Well, yeah, in Australia, that's what you'd pay. Yeah.
In Spain, it's expensive.
In Spain, it was really expensive.
But we had that really nice bacalao, which is cod.
Cod in batter, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And that was really, really nice.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I... Compared to other places we've been for food, I didn't really rate it that highly. However, and you know, that really depends. On, you know, there was probably a lot of other places that were fantastic.
Well, we weren't there that long, I guess. We did find that other place which had, I can't pronounce it. It's like La Puglia, but it's not. What's that? It's the cafe or the bar that had the bullheads on it.
Oh, yeah.
But the food was really modern.
Yeah, that was, let me see, we had, give me time.
Okay, you flick through that. And
Postiguillo.
Oh,
Postiguillo.
And that, as I said, it had like big wagon wheels hanging from the ceiling. It had bull's heads, which, you know, like all around the outside. It had all that...
Had photos of famous people and
the paraphernalia there, like the bull fighting sort of. Bulls.
Well, you had that deep fried camembert.
Yeah, with prawns.
With prawns.
Stuffed with prawns.
And that was really nice.
Yeah, so that was. We went back there because of that.
And their food was pretty good.
But my favourite place we went. We're going to finish on this one. Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Bodega de San Juan. And now, where did I find that? I think I looked up authentic tapas bars
I think you recommended it by your Spanish teacher.
Oh, maybe. No, he doesn't go to Sevilla. I don't know. Anyway, we found this one. And there's nothing fancy about Bodega San Juan. It has wooden stools, wooden tables, a wooden bar. They've got photos there from early 1900s. It's exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
And but the old guys, I think it was a father and son maybe, they're charismatic, you know, and this is about one of the only bars that you go up and you order at the bar because it's so small that they give it to you there and then, and really cheap tapas.
And if it's not ready there and then, the bar's that small, they can actually lean over
and give it to you,
and
right?
Give it to you or sitting at the table.
Yeah. And you got these tiny little tables and you order this little tapas food and you can't fit everything on. But other places we've been, the jamon's been so expensive, but here it wasn't. You know, it was.
Well, all the tapas was around, I think, €2.50 to €3.
Yeah, all of it.
Euro.
And you know, you get a plate of tapas for €2.50.
And there was probably something like 20 items on there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, three, I knew what they were, so that's what we got.
And so the bar, the people behind the bar, they would you take an order and they go back and cook it.
Yeah.
Or reheat it, probably.
Or slice the ham on.
But that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And so we went back there another night and you just go and have a couple of tinta de veranos and some tapas, you know.
And it was as cheap.
And we'd go early enough so we easily got a seat. But, you know, after half an hour it filled up, you know. So obviously word got around.
And we never really said anything, but that particular bar, we actually always went inside. We didn't sit out the front.
No, because I wanted to watch the guys behind the bar.
You wanted to watch the guys behind the bar, yeah.
Anyway, so the second time we went there, we've gone and ordered a drink, and the old guy behind the bar, he's got like a fan, and I don't know where he's got it from, but he's got it up and he's, waving it at himself, you know, fanning himself, and sorry, I'm going to be politically incorrect. I know this is wrong. However,
it's a fact,
and this is what he said, and he's walking around saying, Maricon. And Maricon, you know, literal translation is pufta. So he's basically pretending he's a girl, fanning himself. And I know what Maricon meant. And so.
But he didn't realise that the gringos knew what Maricon was.
No, the gringos in the corner, you know. He's playing up for his old mates at the bar. I've laughed and he's just cracked up. He's realised that I know what he's doing, so he's doing it even more, and then he's, you know, like flaunting himself around, you know. But as we left, he sort of pointed at me and laughed, and, you know, he was pretty impressed that we knew what he said. It was hilarious. So coming back to my last question that I ask every time, where was your favourite place?
It has to be the Bodega Santa Cruz.
Yeah. San Juan,
was it? Yeah. I thought it was Santa Cruz. San Juan.
Oh, God, we got it wrong. Have you got it written down? Our favourite bar, and I don't even know the name.
No, I haven't. But in saying that, the couple of nights we came back after going out for dinner, we went back up to the Tapas Bar, which was upstairs.
That's our rooftop bar.
Now, that was beautiful. The wine was excellent.
Yeah.
There's no question about the wine being excellent. But generally, you pay about $2.80, $3 for a glass.
Euro.
Up there, you're paying €3.50, €3.50, which the wine was good and a bigger glass, and then it was a bigger glass. But what sort of, just a little hint, there was a 20% surcharge because it was a rooftop bar.
Oh, well.
You know.
It was worth it.
Yeah. But just to let anybody know that
does happen.
That does happen. Yeah.
So Sevilla.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I
we were so glad we went back. Yeah. It was definitely a favourite of ours. We loved it. And hopefully you've got some great information out of this that makes you want to go to Sevilla.
One other thing, just to finish off with the Sevilla. They are very, very proud of their heritage, and there is no hiding the fact about the bullfighting and how they're very proud of that history.
Yeah, they are very
everywhere.
Proud. Yeah, so we loved it. We rate it. We would probably go back, which means we rate the place. But as I said, go to our website, beachtravelwine.com, for more information and pictures, or go to our Instagram at beachtravelwine, and you'll find lots of pictures and things there. And feel free to reach out to us if there's anything you want to know about our travels in Spain. Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
So this is a quick little update to the last segment that we were talking about, the bar area and my favourite bodega. And Lyle, honey?
I was right.
Yeah, tienes razón. See, you're right. I'm so confused. We've been like to so many places, but the last place we were in, Cáceres, the bar area there was San Juan. However, the...
Plaza San Juan.
Sí. However, in Sevilla, the famous barrio area where all the tapas bars are, is called Barrio Santa Cruz. Okay, you're right.
So the bar that Leanne
loved
with the Maricon was the Bodega Santa Cruz.
Sí. So I stand corrected, and Yeah, so the place to go for all your tapas in the old town in Sevilla is Santa Cruz, Barrio Santa Cruz, and check out Bodega Santa Cruz as well. Yeah?
Correct.
Finally.